This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, Nintendo shuts down its Wi-Fi connection for DS and Wii, and Microsoft drops the Kinect from Xbox One. We review a brand new game in Future Retro, and Pile of Shame isn't about a video game at all. And for those who are worried, Amplitude did get funded, at least when this podcast went up. Sorry, spoilers. You'll see what I mean. Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean. How do I sound? Dragon?
Great. That's a little inside joke.
It is. For some reason, in some of our old podcasts, whenever I was mentioning something like Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior, Dragon anything, the audio would kick out on that. I don't know what it is about that word, but yeah. Anyway, inside joke explained. Please, now you can use it with your friends. Dragon.
Yeah, so May has been kind of an interesting month for gaming so far.
Yeah, interesting good or interesting not good?
It depends on how you feel about things, I guess. So the first thing is the Xbox One is going to be dropping the Kinect, selling for $100 less starting June 9th.
Yay!
I guess
so now it's only $100 too expensive.
Why has it be $100 less than a PS4?
Oh, I would say so. It's about 25% weaker. So I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I mean the Kinect. I mean when you think about it, the Kinect was like, you know, what did it sell alone for? Was it 150, 120?
The original, you mean?
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, it was like 150, I think, if you wanted to buy it standalone.
So I mean, like. You know, they dropped $100 from the price, but you know, if the Kinect was $150, you know, it still seems like they have some place to go with the whole value proposition. I don't know. I mean, the value of a console is entirely dependent on, you know, what type of games you value, of course. But
yeah,
I mean, for example, the Wii U, if you went just by sheer like computing power, the Wii U should be like $1.50 or $5 box tops from your favorite sugary cereal.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I know it's not that. I know it's not that. But I mean, if numbers are the only thing that matters, whatever. You know, the Wii U is also overpriced. But I mean, for me, the value is in the titles on it. Just like if you're a Halo fan, I mean, $500 wasn't really too much to pay for the Xbox One either.
Yeah, right. So they announced Halo 5, and I'm sure that this has something to do with it too. The price drop happens one day before E3 starts, so I'm sure that's also not a coincidence.
Well, of course not. Of course, it's amazing that we give so much like weight to E3, though. You know what I mean? It's mainly like a media event. I mean, I know the game journalists are going to be like reporting on it, but I mean, for the average just customer gamer, E3 is not much other than when websites start getting really busy.
I suppose, although that didn't stop me from wondering if I should try and go this year.
Should have gone this year. I'm thinking about Tokyo Game Show still.
Ooh.
Thinking about Tokyo Game Show. I don't know. I mean, it's quite an expanse, and I'd be going alone, and I don't know. You know.
Sure.
I'm still thinking about it. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's anything like I guess you don't know if there's anything you care about at the event until the event goes, because it's a place for announcements and stuff. But I don't know. I've been in a funk lately about the whole state of like Japanese console gaming. We talked about it before.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it this way. I've never gone to one of those. And I've only been to two that I did not thoroughly enjoy and think was valuable.
Oh, definitely. It's just I gotta weigh the expense of going and of course that it would require me to take most of my vacation in one pop.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Did I say my double negative right? I don't think I did. Anyway. So this is right before E3. We only got a few weeks to go here. And, it's interesting, right? Because Microsoft said, swore up and down that this was a required feature of the Xbox One when they bundled it in the first place.
Yep.
And I guess they didn't see Sony's price announcement coming, but I guess if they knew anything about the PlayStation, they probably should have.
Yeah.
But
they made the Saturn mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, they don't seem to be suffering as much for it, at least not yet. So it's a calculated move by Microsoft to equalize the price of the consoles, I guess. But I'm kind of worried how this is going to renew calls for the Wii U to drop the gamepad.
Oh man, almost instantly after it was announced, people were like, "Oh, see, Microsoft could do it." But I mean, I really think that Nintendo is going to react to this the same way they've reacted to every major industry decision that's been going on, by completely ignoring it.
Well, I suppose I don't want to dwell on it too much because, I mean, basically where I come down on this is that a dropping the gamepad would not drop the price that much, and also I don't think that the price is really the Wii U's problem.
No, if the Wii U had more software, it would be fine. Although, oh my gosh, you look at Mario Kart 8. I guess that'll be out by the time this podcast hits. That thing's beautiful. Just an absolutely beautiful game. You know, I think there's a lot of untapped power in the Wii U that unfortunately no one's going to tap because third parties have just absolutely completely abandoned it.
It's very unfortunately true. Although to be fair, Mario Kart 8 will come out a week after this podcast does, so there's still time.
And everyone should get that if they're Wii U owners at all, just because not only is Mario Kart looking to be a really good title, but there's this amazing campaign that you buy Mario Kart 8, you get a download code for like another whole game, like what is it, like Wind Waker HD or
one of them. There's some party game.
Yeah, there's like four different titles for the US and like eight different ones for Europe.
It's crazy. Yeah, there's a list we should probably include in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll include that. And remember how I said I don't like DLC, digital downloads, right? You know, because I don't feel that they, you know, there's one price that'll get me to do a digital download, and that's free. So Nintendo, if you're listening to that, if you want me to continue downloading things digitally from you, continue offering them for free.
Well, that brings me to the second thing, right? Because Nintendo is as of May 20th, which is just a few days before this podcast comes out, we'll be shutting down the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, which is the online service for both the DS and the original Wii.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you get, for instance, Mario Kart Wii with the Wii Mini, which can't go online, but I'm not playing it on my Wii Mini, I'm playing it on my Wii, and I won't be able to use it anymore pretty soon, at least not online anymore.
I mean, that kind of thing happens late in the life of a thing, and I mean, I'd like to be mad at Nintendo about this, and I really kind of was at first, but then I realized the circumstances surrounding it, and you know, a lot of games are going down around the same time, not just on Nintendo platforms. It's because they had that deal with GameSpy.
That's right.
At least that's what I read. And since GameSpy is stopping, I don't know, operations or hosting, or I don't know what they're stopping exactly, but it's also affecting some third party titles from companies, you know, on Microsoft or Sony platforms that didn't, maybe not Microsoft so much, because I think everything goes through Live. I don't know. I'm not a.
It should. I mean, I think that's part of the platform requirements of the 360.
Yeah, I think so. But like some other titles are going down, and a lot of PC titles as well.
That's wild. Okay, so I don't feel so bad. I was about to, you know, take them to task for shutting that down 10 minutes before Mario Kart 8 comes out, but
yeah, I thought that was a tactical move, and it might still be. I mean, they might have had some wiggle room with exactly the date that things went down. But if you look at the matchmaking and stuff for Mario Kart 8, it looks like Nintendo's starting to get it together a little bit. You know, it's still a matter of too little, too late. But listen, for all those people going, you know, Microsoft dropped the Kinect. Wii U's going to drop the gamepad any moment now. I'd like you to go to look at like how many years it took Nintendo to catch up on having online gameplay and things like voice chat and stuff. I mean,
right?
They're reacting as fast as they can. We will be without the gamepad in 5 years. So right around the time a new system comes out that utilizes.
Oh, look at this. No gamepad on the next system. Yeah.
When they release the Wii U Mini, it won't have a, it won't have a gamepad. And, it won't have TV online, out. So. That'll save money.
Can't do both. How about just the gamepad and no TV? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no.
What's funny about this, the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection going down is that a bunch of us wanted to get together and like play Mario Kart, right? But we can't because you can't exchange friend codes anymore as of last year.
Yep.
So best you can do is hope for a random matchmaking and see if your friends are online.
Well, luckily, if you and your friends went online for Mario Kart right now, considering how few people go through Nintendo's online network, you'd probably find each other.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
That's a lie, actually.
I haven't had a problem getting on, really, or finding people to play with. And because I thought it was April 20th at first, which I also thought it was April 30th for Mario Kart 8 to come out. So that shows what I know. But I was pretty sure that I wouldn't be able to get on. Sure enough, I was. I was like, oh, maybe it's fine. Nope, it's going down. So, but that, you know, there are consequences to this, right? Like
oh, yeah.
One thing I thought of when I was trying to find the notice that Nintendo put out was I found their instructions for transferring your DS identity, like, you know, your original DS.
Yeah.
And the way they label it is that they call it a Nintendo Wi-Fi ID. But it looks like from the instructions, as I read through them a little more carefully before the show, you don't need to go online to do the transfer, but you do need to go online to give your old DS a new ID. So I don't know if it'll work with certain games unless you're able to do that. So if you try and do this transfer, your old DS might be dead.
Hmm.
Maybe.
I wonder. I mean, yeah. That is interesting. Although I can't imagine there's too many people still. Well, you never know. I mean, for someone like me who never really used online really at all anyway, I'm much more saddened by the games that absolutely did not need to have online that are going to be losing function. The downloadable puzzles for Professor Layton, the downloadable puzzles for Picross, which is, oh man, I love Picross. And I just found out about one. I saw a post on NeoGAF, and they were saying, you know, if you are playing Last Story, which is the Mistwalker RPG for the Wii, which is really good, by the way, I'd like to point that out.
Okay.
That you should be going on this week, because the special items that you could get or any of the online multiplayer, it's gone.
Oh no!
And I mean, I never played it online anyway. But the fact that there will be content in the game that will be inaccessible forever makes me very sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. Can't. Okay. Every publisher in the world, I know you listen to this podcast, so I'm talking to you right now. If you're going to have online features, your networks are not going to last forever. Can you do us a favor right at the end? Can you flip some kind of switch and make that stuff available offline? Or after a certain amount of time, I guess you can't do that.
Yeah.
Do something.
I mean, yeah.
Don't ever go offline. Don't put features like that in your games.
Was it Ubisoft? I don't remember. Some company that required like always on connected to the server kind of thing. And people want to be able to play that game and at some indeterminate point in the future. And they're like, oh yeah, don't worry. The last thing we do before, like if we go out of business or whatever, is we're going to patch your game to make sure you can play offline. And I'm like, oh yeah,
was it
right.
Steam?
I don't think it was Steam. I think it was a specific publisher.
Something. But the precedent is not in favor of that. I mean, when games for Windows went down, some games got patched, some games didn't, and some games are totally unplayable right now.
I mean,
leads to a bad precedent, considering that's Microsoft. So good luck. Good luck, 360 owners. Good luck with that.
Like, we already went through that pain with the Xbox, the original Xbox. Going down with no more live support, so all those Halo 2 maps, useless.
Yep.
Well, you know what? What kind of stinks is that even though you can transfer your Wii identity to a Wii U, I believe it still has to use the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection internally because it's really just like a virtual Wii inside of your Wii U, and so there's no. They've done something since then. Like since it was originally released, you're able to at least stream the video to the gamepad.
Yeah.
Which definitely wasn't a Wii feature, nor was going over HDMI. So there are some things,
yeah,
that they're able to do with to the quote unquote firmware on the Wii U. So I mean, maybe it's possible they could put in an abstraction layer to go over the new Nintendo network. Potentially,
Wii games?
Yeah, I sincerely doubt that they are going to put in any kind of effort for that. Because it probably requires a lot of licensing for all the different publishers for old games they don't care about anymore when they can sell you new ones like Mario Kart 8.
So they can sell you new games that you don't care about. Oh. Yeah.
What's been interesting is that I've been sitting on shot video for over a year now about the pros and cons of doing that Wii transfer. As well as just instructions for actually how to do it. So two different videos, I guess. But you know, I shot some of that, like captured it from Phil Bond's Wii U, like the day, the launch day for the Wii U, and you know, planning to use it. And it's been like a year and a half, almost to the day as we record this, that I've done nothing with it. And it's because like the landscape keeps changing. Like first, you know, the online services went down for the Wii channel. So that was like one of the cons, right? Was you don't get your Wii channels on the Wii U, but it doesn't matter. I don't get friend codes on the Wii U, but it doesn't matter because you can't do those on the Wii anymore. And now the online gaming component, which was nerfed because there were no friend codes, also pointless. So, so you know, there are still some things. Like there are issues with 4x3 output, I think, over HDMI. So you have to use your component cables. Small things, really, at this point. That you wouldn't want to do the transfer, but I mean, there's no
real reason.
Well, I mean, you can still connect to the Wii Shop and download DLC, download virtual console games, because that's, you know, in a way, it's stuff that the Wii U still uses because of the virtual Wii on it.
Yeah. For now,
exactly. That's going to be the last thing to go, and so you definitely can't do the transfer at that point. So maybe this is flipping to a pro. It's like, just do it because you're not going to be able to do it again. And
don't buy anything that's digital only or digital. Wow. For someone who loves technology and things like that as much, I'm really very anti-digital, aren't I?
Well, I mean, it's for good reason. It's for stuff like this. Right?
It's because I want to be in control of what I buy rather than it being in the hands of someone who has no intention of archiving or preserving it.
It's true. Well, not no intention, just that, you know, they're going to resell it to you later.
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. They're going to keep it back.
Right. Like, all right. So story time. I keep harping on the Wii for, like Xbox 360 for killing my interest in the Wii, but really the Wii started doing it all by itself. And I just remember this story as I was going through some things and unpacking stuff. So I originally got Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, this is my console. I mean, I had an Xbox 360 already. I had it for almost a year before I got the Wii.
So why?
Because I wanted to support the Wii. It's like, it's going to be just as good, right? There's no reason not to do it. Well, There were a few reasons. There was online play, which worked kind of. I tried to matchmake with some friends who I exchanged friend codes with. Of course, that's all gone now. But you know, no DLC.
Yeah.
At least as of that time, so you could still like buy expansion packs on disc, like you could like on the PS2 versions of Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
But I was just like so mad, and like all my other friends, except for like one who got the Wii version, they all got the 360 version.
Mm-hmm.
So I exchanged that. I sold it to a friend basically, and then got the 360 version. And you know, Rock Band I believe was also available on the Wii, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, and the original Rock Band was very nerfed, but the Rock Band 2 was content equivalent, I believe.
Yeah, by that point they had figured out a way to patch the Wii to allow to run tracks off your SD card. So that you can actually get DLC and be able to use it because you only have so much space on your internal system.
Yep, yep.
So that was good that Nintendo eventually did that, but that was enough to be like, all right, well, anything that's online enabled, I am not going to go into your system.
Yeah. I mean that, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think the bigger point is really Guitar Hero.
Well, I was,
I know it was a big, It was a big thing. I never got into it.
No, I was super into like the first two, mostly because they're Harmonix games and I literally loved Harmonix.
Kickstarter.
Yes, we should mention that.
Yeah.
Did we mention it last time? I don't remember.
I don't know if we did.
I think so.
We were talking about it.
Yeah.
Will it be over by the time this is up though?
Good question. I'll look that up while we discuss.
All right.
But I knew Guitar Hero 3 was not made by Harmonix because they went off to do Rock Band.
Yep.
But I wanted to get both anyway. But I think about how much I love the 360 and what's happening with the Xbox One and the Kinect and how they're going to fragment their audience like right away. And people are kind of decrying, it's like, oh, the Kinect didn't have enough time to prove itself. But if you really think about it, the Kinect's been around for like 4 years or something.
The Kinect has been around for longer than that, even like five maybe.
Yeah.
And there has been yet no real title that has proved its worth, with the possible exception of Dance Central.
Right.
You know, but that game could have been, they could have like packed it with, they could have gotten a camera and packed it with that game. You know what I mean?
Right. Or I think like Just Dance on the Wii, just use the Wii Remote.
Yep, it just used the Wii Remote. But I mean, Dance Central, it was a cool game. It was I saw it or played. I think I just watched other people play it at Tokyo Game Show before it was released. Mm. I thought it was very neat. But I mean, it's, you know, you probably could have done it. I mean, It was simple enough that it probably could have been done with, you know, it could be done, you know, it's a Microsoft franchise, but it could have been done on the PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 with their eye camera as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a game that needed the specific, like the power of a Kinect, you know, and then of course, remember Milo that they were showing off?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That turned out to not even be real. It was just a video running.
Hmm.
That was the only impressive looking Kinect thing that I saw. And, I wonder if they're even going to release the Kinect in Japan, because the Xbox One isn't out here yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good point. So that brings up another point, which is that, not only are they dropping it from the bundle as of June, they don't even have plans to sell a standalone, until the fall.
Well, that's okay, because if you go on eBay right now, there's 1,000 of them from people who bought it who didn't want it. And there'll be even more now that it looks like it's really not required. But man, did Microsoft go through the whole cycle. I mean, from their announcement, it was Kinect is required to be plugged in at all times for your system to even function.
Right.
To it's required to be plugged in once when you set up, and then you can take it off. No. The second one was, it's required to be connected, but it doesn't have to be on. You know, you could aim it at the wall or whatever. And then it was like, it's needed, you need it to activate your system, but then you can just get rid of it. And then it was like, you never even need to plug it in at all. At which point everyone was going, then why am I buying it?
Right.
And now it's gone to you don't need one. And soon it's going to be like, I guess you can't go any farther back other than if they actually did a recall.
Oh, it's not going to happen. They've made their money. No, why? This isn't like a Red Ring of Death situation.
No, it's not. But I mean, so you've got this Kinect 2 that very few people wanted. And the people, I mean, if you are into playing motion games, it looks good. You know, if I was into that ecosystem, the Microsoft ecosystem, and when I get my new house, when I'll actually have space, I don't know. If my kids want to play dance games, you know, that looks like something I might get. But like, you know, when I was a college student or something, living in the dorms, no. Well, let me take that back. I did play a lot of Samba de Amigo back
then. That's right. And man, if I could play Samba on the Kinect, sold.
Oh yeah, if you just,
because it costs $100 just for one set of maracas, for crying out loud. So
if you got a Kinect, a Kinect pack, it's a Kinect 2 and two like just maracas that the Kinect would sense. Yeah, I'd buy that.
Have I told the story of how much effort I went through to not get a Kinect for my 360?
Yes. Go back to, I think it's within our first 10 podcasts. So everybody right now, goodness, go and listen to our first 10 podcasts. First person to tell us which podcast it's mentioned in gets a prize.
It's a Kinect. No, but
I'll give a prize. First person to figure out which podcast it was in that Sean tells his story about buying the Kinect, I will send something of very little value from Japan.
Doesn't that mean that we have to actually know the answer?
Well, you see, if someone writes the answer, I guess then we got to listen to the podcast. Oh,
right,
we have to
go back and go through all the episodes. Oh boy, it's a great show though. We should just do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to listen to every podcast we've ever done tonight. So
it's impossible. In
fast forward mode. In fast forward mode.
Even at double speed.
Yeah, well, I'm going to listen to him in 20x speed.
So I guess the only consequence of that decision was that my updated 360 is matte instead of glossy black and isn't trimmed in silver.
Ooh.
Boo-hoo. But yeah,
I've got a 360 without Kinect, and I paid $40 for my 360.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Yep. The best things come to those who wait.
I think about the gamepad again, and I keep saying I don't want to dwell on it, but here I am dwelling on it. And, you know, it says a lot of the same things about how, you know, it's like essentially a core feature of the system. And I agree to the extent that I actually use my gamepad every day. Like it's my main way of watching TV via Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Instant.
If it were not for the gamepad, I would have played my Wii U far, far less. But I don't think it's a feature that everybody needs, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Nintendo could absolutely, reprogram the eShop, for instance, to not require use of the gamepad. It's not a hard thing. Like, maybe they'll be like cute and just like, oh, well, I guess in a way you can probably use the Wii remote right now. But they're not going to require a piece of hardware that doesn't come with it. Oh, they just package a Wii remote. They should do that anyway, honestly.
Well, a lot of the bundles do. I think it's very hard in Japan right now to get a Wii U that doesn't have a remote bundle.
In the U.S., I don't think any official bundles have them.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, anyway, I mean, Wii remotes at this point are a dime a dozen, but they should have one in just because, you know, people don't know.
So, yeah.
You know what? They should package a Wii Mini in with it. Because I just don't know if the customers are confused enough.
No kidding.
And they're starting to figure it out around Mario Kart. They might figure it out. So Nintendo, you got to do something brilliant to confuse the customers further.
So I don't want to rehash the whole thing about system fragmentation, because we do a whole podcast about that.
Yes, we do.
But you know, as you pointed out, there really aren't any games that's going to affect negatively.
No, not really. I mean, I think right now with the 360, like, I mean, they were saying it was core for like television functions and stuff, but I, I don't know. I would just, much like Siri on the iPhone, it's kind of cool. But if you use it and other people are around, you feel like a doofus.
Yeah, I was about to say that, like, they did really try hard to make an interface, and you mentioned Siri, and it just nails it right in the head. But yeah, I don't think I'd use it, honestly.
I use Siri when I'm alone and I'm just playing around, you know, or to send it, I don't know, to send a text message while I'm walking or something, you know. But for the most part, it's just a cool little novelty. And if someone would drop $100 off the cost of my telephone, I'd go without Siri. You know?
I mean, I think like the main thrust of the idea was, like a lot of things, like flip phones, you know, was based on Star Trek. So it'd be really cool if you could just say computer and then do. Oh, but you haven't seen Next Generation yet, have you?
Wait for it.
Okay. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But so, all right. So I found Amplitude.
Okay.
So yeah, Harmonix started a Kickstarter to do a new version of their Amplitude game. It would come out for PS4 and PS3. And if no one's played Amplitude before.
Wait, no Wii version?
No.
Boo.
Well, the original Amplitude and its prequel, whatever, yeah, the original Frequency were both PS2 games.
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't know. If there's one game that might find a cool use of the Wii U gamepad, there you go.
No, it's less about precision control and just twitchy motions, you know?
All right.
Like Frequency in particular was a very like abstract version of what became the Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, I haven't played the games close enough to know, but that just means they have ripped off Beatmania.
Well, you know, there were the other games out there, the Konami games, the freaks, like Guitar Freaks and
yeah,
whatever. But and those are just three buttons, and these are three buttons too. And I really loved Frequency. I played it all the time, you know, 11 years ago. And yeah. Amplitude came out and I didn't love it as much because they tried to make it a little less abstract. You know, like the spaceship running across lanes and through these weird scenes. And mostly I was mad because you couldn't wrap from one end of the track to the other anymore, which made gameplay a little interesting. But yeah, I would totally support this Kickstarter, and I did, and I think it's going to fail.
Oh, really?
It's 4 days left, and they are just a touch above halfway there.
Tell you why it's going to fail. No Wii U version. No, that's not it at all. Well, I don't know, though. Actually, some games really get a boost from making the Wii U a stretch goal just because Wii U owners are so starved for games.
No kidding. That's why I keep getting mine from Kickstarter, which I don't think any of them have come out yet. Although I think Shovel Knight is close.
Shovel Knight is very close. And I forgot to. I mean, I didn't support Shovel Knight when it went the original Kickstarter, but I supported another Kickstarter for a Nintendo themed magazine, and one of the stretch goals was a download code for Shovel Knight as well. So
you son of a.
So I will be getting on the Shovel Knight bandwagon, and I'm really looking forward to it. Although since I missed the Kickstarter, I missed out on possibly getting a bag of dirt, which was one of the reward tiers.
I don't even think I want to know. Wait, did you explain this already?
Probably.
Sounds familiar. I'm sorry, this feels like the too late podcast, because you're gonna be too late to enjoy your Nintendo Wi-Fi connection anymore. Yep. You're gonna be too late to support Amplitude, so maybe we should like tweet it and
let's tweet it.
So it should already be there. We'll know by the time this comes up if we succeeded or not.
Yep.
Probably. I don't know. Can we help Harmonix make $330,000?
Well, I mean, if everyone who listens to the podcast contributes $100,000, they should be able to make it.
We have a few more listeners than that.
Okay.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a few.
I don't know. The state of gaming makes me excited for, because I got so many downloadable things for the Wii U, and we talked about this very recently.
Yep.
About why you don't like to do it. And I was like, oh, it's fine. But honestly, when the next Nintendo system comes out, if there is one, dun, dun, dun.
There will be. I'm calling it right now.
All right. I believe you. It's just going to be more of the same. And who knows, if they change their architecture, which they probably should at this point, it's not going to matter. It's not going to transfer over.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, one of the lucky things about having really low powered hardware is unless they actually go to an x86 hardware, but they still stay with the power PC, they could probably emulate it.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to. I mean,
I don't, frankly, before this generation started, everyone was like, Nintendo, stupid move, not going to the x86 hardware. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you can't port it easily. But like the Xbox 360 was PowerPC hardware. So a port from Xbox 360 to Wii U right now would be cake, you know?
Oh, no.
It would be really, really easy.
So you're saying I could play Peggle 2 on the Wii U?
But, oh, wow. That's a weird one, isn't that?
Why isn't that there? I would buy that.
I know. It's like, huh, well, let's see. Kitty, casual, target audience. Oh, you know, it would be great. PopCap games. You know where we're going to put them? On Hardcore Box.
Yeah, they're going to, or 3DS.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, anyway, but I mean, it would be easy for them. I mean, not super simple, not without any cost, to move games that are currently on the 360 to the Wii. I mean, any third party game that comes out on the 360 is definitely possible to be ported to the Wii U, but it's not, because third parties don't care at all anymore. So for Nintendo,
and they usually give it to another party to do anyway. Yeah.
So Nintendo's next system, switching to the x86 hardware as a way of making it easier for third parties, I don't think it matters anymore.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Unless Nintendo gives the third parties some money or ports the games themselves, which they've both done in some circumstances, the only games that are going to be on the Nintendo systems are Nintendo games anyway. So, I mean, who cares? Who cares what architecture they use? Frankly, if they really want titles, they want lots of titles, I'll tell you what architecture they should use: ARM.
Oh, yeah, right?
Use the same architecture as mobile phones.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, my God. I guess my last thought then is that despite that Microsoft has done this, I'm still going to hit PS4.
I think that's probably wise. But I've decided, eventually I'll get a PS4. Probably the first redesign. Because, there's nothing on it that I really need right now. But probably around the first redesign, you know, we're going to have Final Fantasy 15. We're going to have, you know, there'll be a few more titles that are up to my interest. Right now it's mostly Western titles, and those are fine. But it's not something I'm really that interested in. I'm much more interested in Japanese games. And that's not a country thing, but it's just like I'm not into first person, or, you know, I'm not really into shooters. So I'm more into RPGs and stuff like that. So
I wanted to say that Dragon Age is what's really prompting my decision to go to PS4.
Okay.
But really, it's more like an excuse, because I can get that for my 360.
Yeah, you could. But, you know, yeah, nice to have pretty graphics sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's where you're going?
I think so.
That's where you're going next gen?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my Retron 5.
Yeah, they released, actually, as the show notes, they released a video of an unboxing just to prove it wasn't vaporware.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's vaporware either. I think I want to support them because they're doing exactly the product I want. But, man, PR. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, they've passed so many release dates at this point.
I had heard at Midwest Gaming Classic it was already on the boat over, so I don't know if that wasn't true or what.
Yeah, they said 30 days, and I don't know. I'm still hearing about a boat. I don't know. All I know is I heard about it, you know, quite a while ago. My wife ordered me one as a Christmas present. It was supposed to be here, you know, by Christmas.
2013.
And then the date came to really close to Christmas, so we figured it'd be here little after. Then the next release date would have gotten it here just a little after my birthday. Now, I don't know, we're just they're actually playing it very smart now. They're not announcing a release date at all.
Reminds me of the last time we promised to make a Famicom Dojo video.
Exactly. Yeah. If we were charging people any money for this, right?
Yeah.
I think we'd, you know, if the Retron 5, it feels like a Kickstarter, but it's not.
Well, speaking of retro, we should probably go into future retro.
Ooh, let's do it. This is kind of an obvious choice, and I don't. And bringing it up, I feel like, I mean, it's so obvious that I feel almost like I'm bringing up like, hey, Mario was probably going to be a good game in the future, you know, but it or Sonic. But I mean, along the same lines, it is the PC Engine's Mario or Sonic. You know where I'm going with this?
Oh, Alex Kidd? No, wait. Sorry, that's Sega.
No, that's Sega.
Bonk, huh?
Bonk. Yep. It's Bonk. And the piece. I was thinking of it recently because it seems that someone found that there was a dev kit discovered. One from the from when Hudson was dead. And I mean, Konami bought them, but like, you know, they're not doing anything with them. It's like Atari still exists, but what are they doing these days? You know,
right?
So they found, and it was pretty much done. It was done. The new Bonk.
Oh, wow.
It was basically just waiting to be released, and then I guess the Tohoku earthquake happened.
And the
main plot point of this game was that it was a cataclysmic earthquake. So yeah, that didn't get released. And by the time it probably would have been, you know, long enough, they were out of business. So,
oh geez.
Oh man, that still hurts. But it doesn't make the original games any less worth getting.
Sure.
I've been playing a lot of the first one, which is, it's good. The play mechanics are very nice. The graphics are a little plain. It doesn't look much of a step up from Famicom carts, but in later iterations, it looks really, really good. And of course, we talked about this in our PC Engine special. Bonk was a bit of he got around. you can play it on the Famicom, you can play it on the Super Famicom. Super Bonk actually is really good. There is a GameCube remake of the first game that's very, very nice.
I don't think I even knew about that one.
That's because it didn't come out in the States.
Okay.
But definitely worth getting. I like games with kind of unique mechanics. That's why I still like Kirby very much.
Okay.
Because all Kirby's got is appetite, you know. In the original games, then he got all kinds of power-ups and stuff. But for Bonk, he just headbutts stuff. He can, like, do this diving attack with his head. And I like how he climbs walls. He, like, bites his way up. It's awesome. Right. It's awesome. He's a caveman. It's cool. I don't know. You know, now that Hudson's gone, I wonder if the games are still available from Virtual Console. That's where I've been playing them lately.
Well, there are no other publishers going on to the Wii U Virtual Console. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, pretty well in Japan.
Sorry, I should restate that. There are no non-Nintendo consoles on the Wii U.
In Japan, PC Engine.
Really?
Yep. And
Yep.
But all the right. thing is, I think it's just because of how much stake Hudson had in it that I don't know. The licensing might be so extreme for America that it's just really hard to do. But like, the system was way more popular in Japan, and right. there's definitely more of a demand in Japan for it that might make the hassle worth it. But I think there's still only one title so far.
All right. Well, for me, I got a game that I'm sure almost no one's heard of because I got to review something before it came out.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. It's been a while.
Tell me about it.
Sure. It's an iOS game called Glorious Maximus. It's by Sneaky Games. I don't think I've ever heard of them before. And it's like a little brawler. I can't say it's incredibly deep. But it's really cute. I like the art style. I like the music. It kind of grabs me right away. But you got this like almost kind of chibi Romans fighting other Romans. Really ridiculous costumes. Like I could see like a Mini Maids action figure line or something.
Go ahead. Is it a DLC fest?
No, actually, the email that we got said that there are no in-app purchases.
Whoa.
Right.
Okay, that suddenly got on my radar.
Right. So what I thought it was you had like this kind of starter Roman guy that you like beef up as you go along, and you do get one, but you end up switching out different champions, as they put it.
Okay.
And then you eventually get other champions. So basically you switch out the actual characters and you can get a whole roster of them and then equip them, as it were.
That's interesting.
As you go along, and then like the higher, the more money you get, in-game money, I should say, the more interesting characters you can get. So like you have like Leonidas or Xerxes, and then they look like the 300 counterparts, and hopefully enough to avoid copyright issues. Not really sure how that works there, but there are lots of characters like that.
Aren't they historical characters, though?
They are, but like the way that they look, I'm sure it's based in history.
Probably not.
Leonidas looks a little more generic, but Xerxes has like all the rings and the chains and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, that's a little close. But I have a problem playing it though, because I have an iPhone 4 running iOS 7, and it does this thing, like even like on videos and stuff, where it'll just freeze for the first few seconds. So the gameplay can be a little rough, because you really only have two commands, like one is to stab, one is to guard, and you can swipe at incoming objects. So there's like rocks that can fly at you.
Yeah.
You have to swipe them, or there's like food helps regain your stamina. I have a hard time hitting those because the game likes to judder a lot for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think
time
it's the fault of the game.
Time
yeah,
to upgrade.
Yeah. This fall, I'll get a PS4 and I'll get an iPhone 6 or whatever they're going to call it. But it is pretty fun though. It was a little addicting. I had a hard time putting it down, and despite the glitches. Yeah, so between the fact that it's there's no in-app purchases, there is an in-game currency though, and they totally could have gone that way, and it's just $2, I think it's worth at least $2 of fun.
Nice.
Yes.
That sounds really good. I might need to check that out. When's it out?
It came out on the 13th, so that was last week.
Oh, it's already out.
So I only heard about it like about a week before it it was supposed to.
I might check it out just because I'm on a 5S right now, so I just see if that stuttering thing is part of the game or part of the phone. Okay, great. Give me your pile of shame right now too.
Well, you know I went to Windows Game Classic and I got a bunch of games.
Rub
so...
it in, don't you?
Yeah, right. Sorry. I'm not trying to. I'm just like a lot came out of that, and I didn't play a lot of the games, but like chief among those, and the ones I didn't even try and really put in to find out what they were like, are the Wisdom Tree games.
Okay.
And it's because I ended up doing a video for the haul, and I like during the video I actually read the cartridge, and it's like, oh, it has it flashed 9 times before like Exodus or whatever is able to run properly, and I'm like, oh, I didn't let it flash enough. Mm-hmm. So silly me. So I never went back to actually try and play them since then. But like, what do I have? Like Bible Adventures, Exodus, and I forgot what the third one was. I ended up picking up. Actually, I got the third one at a used game shop just randomly after.
Was it game a Spiritual Warfare?
Might have been.
That's the one that plays like Zelda.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to look.
That's fine.
King of Kings. I definitely want to get Spiritual Warfare, okay. But.
Yeah, Spiritual Warfare is really the one to get because it's just by how shameless of a clone of Zelda it is.
I mean, I've been curious about these games forever, and ever since we did a podcast about them, we laid down the history of Color Dreams and everything. I've been super duper curious, and now I just want to get them all. So, thanks for
that. If you're really interested in Color Dreams, you should play this one that I used to have. It was called Operation Secret Storm.
Okay.
You tried it came out during Desert Storm. Like it was obviously made to catch that, and it's incredibly racist. Mm-hmm. You just fight the Arabs, and you are George W. Bush. I mean, you're called like Agent J. George B. or something, or Agent G. Bush, or I don't know. It was like It's yeah. like just enough to make it incredibly obvious who you are, but at the same time, avoid, right. I don't know.
You mean Bush 41, right?
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush.
Yes, yes, yes. Who even at the time you're like you're trying to imagine like being able to even lift a gun.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna play the game. Would be prudent. It's the worst Dana Carvey impression doing a George Bush impression I've ever heard.
And you try to fight Saddam insane.
Oh, of course.
And they have, and I'm not even kidding. In this game, you'll also fight fire-spitting camels. You know, it's worth getting just because of how ridiculous it is.
Which game did that get turned into for Wisdom Tree?
It is an original. Although, I'm sure the engine from it probably turned into some of the games from Bible Adventures because it was a platformer. And I think they really used the same engine for, like, Pesterminator. I don't know. Baby Boomer probably had its own engine because it was a light gun game. But
so what's in your pile of shame?
Well, you know, I'm putting it in my. It's been in my pile of shame since 1987. Okay. But I'm finally moving it from the pile of shame right now. All right,
so 8-bit era, got it.
Yep, it is Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh, the Game Boy game.
Sure. Oh. And.
Mm-hmm.
No, all of it, like Star Trek in general.
Oh yeah.
I think,
does this seem disingenuous and sour to say that you don't know, you haven't seen the show?
Yeah. It seems very disingenuous. Yes. For those keeping attention, sometimes, although not always, but sometimes we talk about the games we're going to do for future retro and pile of shame before, and other times we just think of them. no, this is fixed. I think I mentioned in a podcast a long time ago that I'm not a Trekkie. I'm not a Star Trek fan. I'd watched some of the movies theatrically when I was a kid. I quite liked the one with the whales.
That's
tough. Yeah, and you see, you can name it right away, but for me, it's just the one with the whales.
4 of 12.
Okay, so it's 4 of 12.
Well, if you count the Next Generation films and the new ones, there were 6 original series cast.
Okay, and I think I saw a number of those in the theater with my family. Mm. Father Dying Meets God movie.
Yes, that would be 5.
Okay, and being totally confused, and also Klingon blood floating in the air.
Mm.
William Shatner kicks an alien in the junk movie.
6.
Okay. You know what? I think my titles are better than whatever title these movies actually
have. But you haven't seen any Next Generation at all, and that includes the films.
But I already know the spoiler. Okay, that should give people enough time to stop. I know that Tasha Yar dies.
Yeah.
Because that is the only episode that I actually watched when it was on television.
It was such a bad one, too.
I was 7 years old.
It was so bad.
And it was on TV. And I was, because I'd like Star Trek because I'd watched the movie with the whales in it, you know?
Yeah, it's just terrible.
But it wasn't the terribleness that got to me. Because, you know, I was actually enjoying it quite a bit until I realized this was like the first episode, the first anything in my life that showed me that human beings were mortal. It was my first encounter with television death.
Right.
That a character died. Right. And after that I decided I didn't want to watch the show anymore. I don't know. I got into Doctor Who, which I considered the thinking man sci-fi. And I got into Babylon 5, which I really liked because of the political intrigue and you know, but like I always felt there was something missing in my whole sci-fi thing because everything is a reference to Star Trek. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And people are like, oh, you're into sci-fi. Did you like this thing? And I'm like, don't know that thing. And so I figured
now you know how I feel when you talk about video games.
So I figured it was finally time. And so I was able to acquire the first 3 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation for about $20. Wait for it.
All right.
On Laserdisc.
Oh, God.
Yes.
It's probably one of the best ways to watch it, honestly.
It's so heavy. But I didn't want to get the new DVDs because I heard they redid all the effects.
And they did.
I'm a fan of model shots and stuff like that.
They did. Oh, no, they used the original model shots.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they change?
So all the effects were originally done on VHS.
Yes.
So what they had to do was they went back to the masters, but the effects weren't there. So they had to redo the effects from the masters.
To get the better transfer. I heard that they CG'd it all.
No. They did that for the original series once. But
here's why it's on my pile of shame.
Okay.
Because I feel...
It's a big, heavy pile.
I feel... Oh, my gosh. The first three seasons alone on Laserdisc is like 40 pounds.
Jesus.
Because it's like two episodes per disc. But I'm watching this... And I'm still not understanding the hype.
Okay. Can I tell you something? The first season is very much like an original series redux. And if you've seen any significant portion of the original series, none of it makes sense.
Okay.
It's just a show where stuff happens sometimes and you don't know why and you move on.
I hear Q is like one of these amazing, amazing villain or... You know,
you've only seen him once, though.
Characters. He shows
up at least one more time in the first season. I think maybe twice.
Yeah, but he didn't seem. I don't know. He just seemed like a farce. I don't know. It didn't.
Right.
And the effects. I know it's the 80s. I know it's the 80s, but they just looked really cheap. Think
about this. It's 1987, right?
I know.
And like the effects in particular. This is the first show I think to crack $1 million an episode.
Okay.
If that tells you anything. As for the story, yeah, no, there's no excuse. It does get better. Seasons 3 through 5 are like the epitome of the show and possibly all of Star Trek. But I promise you, if you really feel like you have to watch the whole thing, make it all the way through season 3. And by the time you get to the end of that season, I promise you'll want to see season 4.
It's just hard. I had to work on Encounter at Farpoint for like, yeah, on and off for a week because I'm just like, oh, this is.
Well, it's a 2-hour premiere, I think.
I know. I'm like, it's still going. And okay, I know this is cliche at this point, but it's new for me.
Right.
That Wesley Crusher is the Jar Jar of Star Trek, despite the fact that Will Wheaton
mm-hmm.
seems like an awesome guy online.
Right. Well, he says himself that he was not very smart about stuff as a kid, so he gets better too.
He gets okay. And why is Troy the only member of the Star Trek crew in a miniskirt, whereas everyone else has these like full body coverings? Okay, you see,
spoiler, she eventually gets a regular uniform.
Okay, now I gotta say,
in season 6,
that I am experiencing what other Star Trek fans experienced 20 years ago,
almost 30.
Okay, so I should stick with it. And how about after Next Generation? Are the other ones good?
Well, I think it's all the time we have for Pile of Shame. Okay, so yeah, that's pretty much all we got for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Our 100th episode is super fast approaching. So if you have anything you want to contribute, please call us at 608-492-1923 and leave a voicemail there. Or if you want to send us an audio of any kind, or send us a text that our celebrity voice will read.
Yep. And for questions about the audio for that episode, I should probably answer. We're looking for something that is between 5 and 15 minutes. If you just have a little one-off, a little story you want to share quickly that's shorter, that's fine. We'll take those too. Or if you have a really, really good story to tell that's longer than 15 minutes, we'll see what we can do. But for the most part, we're looking for just little tiny vignettes and record those. You can use the program Audacity. It's free, and you can record your voice using that program. It's open source. Or if your story is under 3 minutes, you can call our voicemail service. What's the number again?
608-492-1923.
otherwise recorded as an MP3. If the size is small enough, I believe we got about a 10 meg limit for using Gmail, sending things to Gmail.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I think that's what it is. But if it's bigger than that, arrange something for us. We can find a way to get it transferred to Dropbox or something else. Yeah. Get those recorded. And even if you haven't recorded yet, but you're thinking of doing something, let us know just so we can kind of make time for you.
You can also get a hold of us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at Famicom Dojo, our free iTunes storefront. Famicom Dojo podcast and Stitcher Radio. We're also at that thing. One last thing I want to mention before we go is that video put up about Kid Icarus kind of spawned this whole thing, and we should definitely talk about it at some point.
Oh, definitely.
Very, very interesting how a lot of the Famicom Disk System games became cartridge games in the U.S. And we've already talked about it in our second ever episode, I believe, but yeah. There's a lot more to the story than I knew.
If you have anything to contribute along this stream of consciousness, I suppose, let us know. We're especially interested in very, very early Nintendo carts.
All right. So I guess until next week, the dojo is...
The voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission is to... make a new video. All right,
oh God, so close to true.
See you next time.
Famicom Dojo.
But so this is just a calculated move, I guess. But if you're what is that noise in the background?
Oh, sorry, that's me reaching for some bread. Let's repeat that line again. Sorry about that.
Oh, I forgot what I was saying.